back with you on The Leader, Dieter Kurtenbach, until 10 p.m., a very truncated but never duplicated KMBR Tonight here on The Leader. And we're joined by one of our good friends on KMBR Tonight, Brian Peacock of the Locked On 49ers podcast, to break down everything that is a winning streak. Two games, it counts as a streak. Don't take this away from me for the San Francisco 49ers. First off, how you doing? Are you getting those winning glows about you at the moment?
Yeah, this is really nice, Dieter. It's always a pleasure to chat with you, and we get a chance to start counting the things the 49ers are doing well instead of whatever the heck that was for the first half of the season, as the Niners kind of slept walk through the beginning of the year. And I don't know what it is, but something woke them up, and they looked like a different team in the last 2 weeks.
Well, God bless the NFL for validating and encouraging mediocrity by adding a seventh playoff seed. It has done the Niners wonders, and they are tied for that with the Minnesota Vikings right now. And wouldn't fate have it, they'll play on Sunday. But I want to go back first before we maybe push forward a smidge and just get your thoughts on this sort of new identity. Maybe it was always the identity for the 49ers. Just ground and pound, punch you in the mouth 40 times a game on the floor, and keep the ball out of Jimmy Garoppolo's hands for as much as the game as possible. What do you make of this sort of bully ball that the 49ers are playing over the last two games?
Yeah, it's ideally the way the 49ers go about it. That's the way it's built. That's the way Kyle Shanahan wants to do it. He wants to be able to run the ball 40 times. And when Kyle Shanahan talks about balance, he just means he wants to run the ball more than he passes the ball. And so 44 rushes, I think, is balance for Kyle Shanahan. And I will say one thing, is okay. They were allowed to be bullies the last 2 weeks, especially right. With the way the game started against the Rams. And we talked about that on The Leader last week about, mm-hmm. Being gifted an arm punt to start off the game, and then you're able to go down the field. Now you have a lead. Now you can play your type of a ball game. And it was pretty amazing that they had another drive up their sleeves that was even longer, 13 minutes and 20 plays to start off the game this week. But they were, and it wasn't 7 points, but they were able to get a 3-point lead and take the lead. And so when you can have the scoreboard in your advantage, then that really helps Kyle Shanahan do exactly what he wants to do. It helps you be a front runner of a football team. It helps you play bully ball. So I think that has definitely helped. And to their credit, they've been able to put those drives together. Now, I mentioned the interceptions from Matt Stafford last mm-hmm. week. And then with the Jacksonville Jaguars, it was the Jaguars just shooting themselves in the foot.
My goodness.
I came away from that game thinking, how does Urban Meyer weather this storm? That looked like mm-hmm. a coach that should be fired. His team was unprepared mm-hmm. and getting kicked out of the game and, mm-hmm. and penalties galore. It just did not look like a well-put-together football team. And they kept some drives alive for the 49ers and made things even easier on the 49ers with mistakes and just getting straight-up beat up on the field.
Well, and the good part for this for the 49ers, yes, Jacksonville was just making mistake after mistake. If it wasn't a fumble, it was a penalty. And if it wasn't a penalty, it was just a general missed play. But the 49ers played an exceptionally clean game. And that's mm-hmm. something that when you are trying to be a front-running team, and actually, let me just pivot to that. The Niners have been able to get out in front these last two games, as you just alluded to. And that allows you to run the ball as often as you want. And it allows you to determine the rhythm and pace of a football game by getting out in front. You call the shots. You're the aggressor. You're the bully. What happens if they fall behind? It's not going to be very much fun running it. It's not as if they've been getting huge chunk plays all the time in the run game. It's not the NFC Championship game in 2019 all over again. This is a little bit of 3 yards and a cloud of dust, too. Is there any concern on your end as we now look forward, knowing this is the way the 49ers are going to play from here on out? What happens if it doesn't work out or if someone scores first?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more difficult. I will say that, and it's going to be a fun one next week with the Vikings, and they've really got a very similar recipe going on there in Minnesota with an efficient quarterback. I believe that right now, Kirk Cousins still is the highest graded quarterback in the NFL this year, according to PFF. And
well, we know what PFF does with the quarterback rankings. good for Kirk Cousins. I'm very happy for him and all 15 people that spend all of their day in my DMs telling me that Kirk Cousins is in fact good. But he's Kirk Cousins. We know what he is, and that is more than enough to win a football game in Week 12. maybe talk to me in January and we'll have a different conversation. But sorry, to get back to your point, an efficient quarterback, an incredible run game. It's very similar to the 49ers as of late.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, bend don't break defense. So it's going to be interesting. Whoever gets on the scoreboard first has a big advantage in that football game. But I think the 49ers under Jimmy Garoppolo the last 4 weeks, you know, since week 8, there's something to the 49ers passing game and Jimmy Garoppolo and playing with confidence and playing super efficient football right now and seeing George Kittle get red zone targets and scoring touchdowns and Brandon Ayuk being more and more involved and Deebo Samuel doing a little bit of everything and is just unstoppable as a weapon for the offense. I think they can score a little bit with some teams. If they're forced to, they would probably prefer not to have to go that route. But that's when it'll get really fun if a team is punching with them and the 49ers can't just go through the first half of the game and just body blow after body blow and wear a team down. So that could get really fun. And wow, this is a pretty big week coming up with a team that's very similarly put together and has the exact same record as the 49ers. And they get to go head up and it's going to be a huge factor in which one of these teams makes the playoffs this year.
It's so interesting that we've seen over these last couple of weeks, as we talked to Brian Peacock of the Locked On 49ers podcast, Jimmy Garoppolo spending almost all of his time in shotgun. And when we saw that in the past, it was because the 49ers were down. So perhaps there is a second kind of smoke with this team. They've only given us one the last 2 weeks, but it's been so impressive that why would you need a second kind? But you're with me that you need to be able to win games in multiple ways, on offense, defense, whatever. But you need to have a couple of different ways, some flexibility, if you will, if you want to be a true playoff team, maybe even a team that can win a playoff game or two in the NFL, no?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I do worry about the defensive side of the ball for the 49ers. Not so much the secondary, which is where most people are worried.
Interesting.
I think Nick Bosa needs a little bit more help on that defensive line because teams are allowed to double team him and hold him and chip him and, you know, grab him around the neck and do whatever they need to do. He's still got 10 sacks on the year. And if it wasn't for Arden Key the last three games, there's really nobody else getting to the quarterback along with Nick Bosa. So he needs a little bit of help there, and that'll make things easier for everybody else. And with all the resources the 49ers have put on the defensive line, that unit should be leading the team. And right now, it's basically been Nick Bosa and a bunch of guys. They've been doing pretty well against the run. I'm talking more about, you know, the pass rush there. So when they get in a scenario where they need to go and get that stop, can they do it the traditional way that they've wanted to, the way they did in 2019? So I do have some questions there, but I do like where the offense is at more so than I did at certain points, especially earlier this year and even in points in 2019. So I think they're a team that can swing with the team that might even jump out and score first on them, but that's going to be a lot of fun. And see if they can still play that bully ball if another team strikes first.
You're suggesting that Arden Key being your second best pass rusher might not be an ideal circumstance? Is that what I'm hearing here, Brian?
I mean, yeah, I like Arden Key as a player.
Me
first
too.
Of all, he's gotten a lot bigger, hasn't he?
Yes.
And
you know what? And that's been huge because
they've
been pushing him to the inside, right? And that's been really key. It feels as if they're almost force-feeding sort of some of the things that they were able to do back in 2019 when they had all that depth, right? And so they're like, okay, we're going to slide Bosa inside and Armstead outside. And they shouldn't be doing that, but they're just like, well, we just have to do it anyway because it mixes some stuff up and maybe we can manufacture some pressure here. But I make the joke about Arden Key, and I think you're right, too. There is a middle ground to be found, which is, hey, anybody other than Arden Key want to show up? Because I think we can all agree that he shouldn't be considered an elite defensive lineman on this team, much less in the league.
Right, yeah, he's a rotational guy. And look, that's fine if your rotational guys are helping out and you're keeping them fresh and you're putting them in good spots to win. But, yeah, Nick Bosa needs a lot more help, and that'll go a long way to the 49ers defense really being a unit that is one to reckon with as you get close to the end of the season.
It has been a dereliction of duty on my part to not bring up Deebo Samuel up until this point as we talk to Brian Peacock of the Locked On 49ers podcast. I have run out of superlatives. What he is doing is, listen, I could throw a bunch of different all-pro, Pro Bowl, offensive player. I could throw all that stuff out there. It doesn't mean anything. There's so much of the season to play. I'll say this, though. It is fun as hell watching that dude take souls on a week-in, week-out basis. He is kind of doing what he was doing at South Carolina, where they're just like, Debo, you're the best player on the field. Do something for us. And he just did it again and again and again. I fully expect him to be back there grabbing punts and kickoffs here like he's back in the SEC before long. What can you say about what Debo Samuel has been able to do? He's the MVP of this team without a doubt in my mind.
Oh, absolutely. And everything he's asked to do, he does it so well. He doesn't care if he's lined up in the backfield, and he doesn't care what letters are next to his name, if it's RB or WR or OW or whatever it is. And it's been really amazing to watch him run the football with the vision that he does and make cornerbacks not want to tackle him, and then, you know, get skinny at times, and just the moves he has in the open field, and he lowers his shoulder when he needs to. It's just amazing to watch him play and the physicality he plays with, and just the smooth nature that he makes these big plays with, and the way he's built. He's such a unique player and so fun to watch, and absolutely worth the price of admission when you're watching a 49ers game. So must-see TV when Debo's on the field. It's been so fun seeing him line up everywhere, and you just knock on wood and hope that he doesn't get hurt. And he has had some lower body injuries, some nagging ones, not a lot of major injuries in his career. The 49ers can't afford to lose him because it's such an integral part of their offense.
Let's talk about the offensive line for a second. Obviously, Trent Williams is as good as it gets. But Laken Tomlinson has been truly fantastic. Now, this might be, and I don't want to get too granular here and swing it over to inside baseball, and it's very inside baseball because it's an Oakland A's analogy, but when Marcus Simeon won the Gold Glove playing next to Matt Chapman, and it's like, yeah, he was good, but Matt Chapman was kind of doing all the work for him on that end. I don't want to maybe go that far with Laken Tomlinson, but it is very easy to do your job effectively when you have Trent Williams to the left. But I want to throw it over to the right and your thoughts on Jalen Moore, who has slid in for Mike McGlinchey. And I know McGlinchey is a very divisive figure in the fan base, but he is an elite run blocker and I thought was much better in pass protection this year. And his loss could have been one of those things that you point to in a season and say that's when it all really went down the drain. Like that could have been a big thing. And yet Jalen Moore has been in there and a little bit out of there with some injury stuff, but it hasn't been an issue. Jalen Moore has slid in, and this team's played its two best offensive games of the year, bar none, in my estimation, because the Lions aren't really an NFL team. So what have you made of Moore's performance and just the offensive line in general as of late?
It's such a tough ask for a rookie to jump in and then play not only a starting role as a fifth-round draft pick, but play the opposite side that he hasn't played. I don't think he had any snaps on the right side in college even at right tackle. So that's such a tough ask for him to get ready that quickly, but it was necessary because of how bad Tom Compton played. And look, Tom Compton's a veteran player. You can't be that bad when you step into an NFL football game if you started that many games and you've played for as long as he has. And that was a disaster seeing him jump in for Mike McGlinchey. Now, he got back in there a little bit last week for Jalen Moore, and Jalen Moore did get beat a couple times, had some misses. He didn't pick up a free rusher. They got a free shot at Jimmy Garoppolo. So, you know, those things aren't great, but you expect some growing pains from Jalen Moore, but otherwise I've been really impressed with what he's been able to do. And again, the 49ers continue to get those fines in the fifth round. I don't know what they're doing. They need to utilize whatever process that is for their second and third rounders too, because it's been pretty amazing to see them just pull these guys out of nowhere that are contributors and early in their career. So I've been impressed by Jalen Moore. And yeah, and he's holding his head above water, which is pretty much all you can ask for at this point for him. And it's going to be important for him to continue to get better. But I'm glad you brought up, I don't want to take too much time talking about the offensive line here, but Laken Tomlinson's gotten better and better every single year. It's pretty amazing. And he even had some trouble with some holding penalties and getting flagged a little bit too often earlier in his 49ers career, and he's cleared that up as well. So, I mean, he's been fantastic. That left side of the 49ers offensive line is just rock solid.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The running back position is one that we generally overlook. Listen, the game is so fantasized at this juncture, and I mean that saying everybody just thinks about fantasy football all the time and running backs don't matter. And I'm a longtime RB0 kind of guy. I don't know where you stand on the issue. I do want your thoughts on that because these are the important issues of the day. But, you know, they lose Raheem Mostert. Okay, fine. Elijah Mitchell comes in and is awesome. They lose Elijah Mitchell and you go, well, they got Jeff Wilson. That can't be that bad. They also have Deebo Samuel, who's really good. But it did throw Trey Sermon back into the fire against Jacksonville, and he looked like he wanted no part of that fire on the first couple of snaps. But then later in the game, maybe when there was no pressure in the situation, he had a nice big run, 12 yards, if I remember correctly. It looked like he got a lot more comfortable as the game went along. That could be huge for the 49ers. What have you made of Sermon just in that game? Because if we wanted to unpack this entire season from Trey Sermon, it would either be a 10-second conversation or a 10-hour conversation, one or the other. I'm not sure if we have time for either, and I'm pretty sure the 10-second one wouldn't be good radio. But what did you see from Trey Sermon against the Jaguars?
Well, look, Dieter, I don't know if you want to talk running backs with the guy who just had Jonathan Taylor put up 51 points for his team and still lost this week in his fantasy football matchup. So,
I'm sorry to hear that.
When it comes to
Who the hell was your quarterback? How bad was the rest of your team? I wanted to move on, but I'll think about it for the rest of the interview. How bad was the rest of the team? Who did you start? Did you start Trey Lance at quarterback?
No. I started Derek Carr at quarterback.
Oh, that would do it.
A little bit of a QB0 scenario for me there. Some other injuries, and so, yeah, a lot of scraps on the roster there. So not a great situation for me in that league, so I'll put it that way. Not even Jonathan Taylor's historic
five touchdowns and you lost.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, it is pretty amazing. But Trey Sermon, and it's pretty clear to me what, I mean, I don't know exactly. I can't get into Kyle Shanahan's head. And he won't really ever tell us what exactly it is.
Right.
But it's very clear watching Trey Sermon run and then watching the rest of the Shanahan backs run, even Raheem Mostert. They all hit the hole extremely fast,
right.
And Trey Sermon does not. Trey Sermon, if I had to compare him to another NFL player, I would say more Le'Veon Bell-esque, and not quite the delay that Le'Veon Bell was getting to the hole and finding it and waiting and going a little bit more lateral and sort of waiting before he hits it. I think that's one of the big things that's kept Trey Sermon off of the field. But he's still a good running back. He was still averaging 4.5 yards per carry before the last game. And, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars defense has been pretty good against the run, and you know, they knew exactly what the 49ers were going to do. So it was tough finding yards on the ground for Jeff Wilson and Trey Sermon. I'm fine with Trey Sermon. I'm fine with Jeff Wilson, and he's never been a huge yards per carry guy. But, man, Jeff Wilson, if you want to talk about when you hear scouts talk about someone that has powerful hips and can explode through the hips, Jeff Wilson is that. It's amazing how much thunder he can bring in about two steps, and it's fun to watch him thump defensive players when they're trying to thump him. But yeah, you know, with Deebo mixing in and doing what he can do, I'm fine with this Kyle Shanahan running game. And you know, once Elijah Mitchell comes back, it's going to be good. So whether it's Sermon, whether it's Mitchell, whether it's Hasty, I'm not really too worried about who the running backs are in the Kyle Shanahan offense, because there's always going to be yards there and there's always going to be some level of success there.
It is crazy how they are able to just kind of always find a guy. And there are teams that they get down one and they can never find another. But that is, again, a much longer conversation for another day. Hell, an offseason conversation. And that offseason might come a little bit later than we initially expected, or certainly expected only a couple of weeks ago. We're talking to Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers podcast, one of our favorites here on KMBR tonight. And I got to ask you the big question. Is Jimmy playing himself into another year in a 49ers jersey?
You keep getting those whispers on the broadcast, and the broadcasters always do the pre-production, talking to the coaching staff and talking to everybody. And when they say it, it always just sounds like, you know, they got that straight from the team. Now, look, it behooves the 49ers to make Jimmy Garoppolo's value as high as possible. So it probably doesn't hurt them putting that message out there that they would like Jimmy Garoppolo and they would like to keep him, because I think they pretty much have to trade him in the offseason.
Right.
But my biggest question is, what sort of a draft pick is Jimmy Garoppolo earning the 49ers with this play? Not so much is he going to be back with the team in 2022, because if he's back with the team in 2022, it's not so much about him. It's about Trey Lance. If you don't think Trey Lance can win you some football games, starting in 2022, then there's, you know, a bigger problem there than what's going on with Jimmy Garoppolo. So my question is, like, at the trade deadline, I would have thought maybe a team would offer that was really up against it, needed a better quarterback. They would offer you a fifth-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. I think that's climbed up to the second-day area, second- or third-round draft pick. And I've even seen the idea floated around the Niners might even be able to pull out a first-round draft pick, maybe
that's
in
nonsense.
A Carson Wentz type of a trade
that's
this offseason. There are some quarterback needy teams, and teams will get desperate. And if he keeps playing the way he has the last 4 weeks, I wouldn't be completely shocked. But day two pick, that's pretty nice if Jimmy Garoppolo's played well enough this year to get the 49ers into the playoffs and get the Niners back a much needed draft pick.
That would be exceptional. I am still extremely skeptical that that's going to go down because, you know, they will want to scout Jimmy Garoppolo, and at some point they'll realize that it's really just a catch and a throw situation for him. And so long as it's over the middle, he's A-OK. I'm fascinated to see what happens when they go up against a team with some really good linebackers. Sad to say, I guess, for the Minnesota Vikings fans listening out there, your team doesn't have them. So it might be another week of success for Jimmy and the 49ers. And maybe there are only five good linebackers in the NFL, and we'll never see the day where the 49ers run into problems with this. If Seattle can't do it, I'm not sure anybody will be able to. So we will find out soon enough. But good on Jimmy Garoppolo for weathering the storm and coming back through. And you know, you look around the NFL and some of the quarterback needy situations, as I believe you put it, maybe a spot in Cleveland where Baker Mayfield's throwing hissy fits and such. Credit to Jimmy Garoppolo for his leadership over the last couple of weeks and held just the entire season and being able to handle all of this like a pro's pro with the peculiarity at hand. So credit to Jimmy Garoppolo for that. And Brian Peacock, I got to give you credit as well. You're always a pro's pro when you join us here on KMBR tonight. Tremendous insights as always. If you're not already subscribed to the Locked On 49ers podcast, rectify that immediately. And by immediately, I mean at 10:01 p.m. when this show is off the air. But Brian, it's always a pleasure, my friend, and hopefully we'll talk next week after another 49ers win.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. Thanks for the plug. And by the way, we did launch the YouTube version of the Locked On 49ers podcast this week, so you can see my mug as well if that's something that you're interested in while we're talking San Francisco 49ers. Thanks for the invite, Dieter. Always a pleasure, my man.
Brian Peacock, in your living room television, it must happen. That I can't think of a better Thanksgiving treat. Everybody just hang around the television, and we're going to watch Brian Peacock break down some football on the YouTubes. Happy Thanksgiving, Brian, to you and yours, and we'll talk next week.
All right, thanks, Dieter.
Brian Peacock, Locked On 49ers. Man, one of our favorites, and great stuff as always. And I need to start getting a little bolder when we have these conversations, because when he said first round pick, I should have made a very large bet. I don't have a tremendous amount of money to throw around in that regard, but I feel fairly confident. And maybe this is just me anchoring to a position, but damn it, I'm anchored. Feel fairly confident that no one's given up a first rounder for Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't care how many yak yards Debo Samuel and George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk get. My man ain't pulling a first, but if the Niners can pull anything else, I mean, hell, it'd be great if they can pull the first. It's just not going to happen. But if they can pull anything, day two pick, my goodness. The long con will have worked for Kyle Shanahan, and I will eat crow. I will eat a dead crow live on the air, only on the leader. So look forward to that, I suppose. I'm sure it'll be riveting radio. Speaking of riveting radio, we got some ads we have to play. Curtain Box with you until 10 on The Sports Leader.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.